Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Hallelujah.
As you descend at the end of what seems to be an interminably long flight, you come into Tel Aviv, a thriving and vibrant city. Skyscrapers do exactly that, straight to the skyline. The traffic is unbelievable. The airport is incredibly modern, spacious, dazzling and sparkling. And then you go eventually to Jerusalem, another modern city. Again, the modern buildings, incredible restaurants, shopping plazas, endless traffic. And then you go to the old part of the city. Narrow walkways made of stone, many of them the original ones first laid eons ago. Individual shops line either side. They're jostling next to other individuals from all over the world, including those who call that city their home. And suddenly you realize the importance of community. You realize, especially during the time of Jesus, how important it was to be in a village, in a city, particularly if it was walled, and most of the larger communities were. And you also come to realize, once you step out of the city and go to any other point, you're in an arid, no person's land. Instead of trying to be pulled from breath. And you can't begin to imagine, or at least I couldn't, how they possibly walked the distances between these points. How arduous it was. And how important it was to have a sense of connection. And I believe that the two main readings we have this morning, from Hebrew Scripture and from Mark's Gospel, speak of healing and the need to be in community and the need to touch. How important touch is in our daily lives today, as it was then. And I believe this message from Mark's Gospel that we hear of the cleansing of the leper speaks volumes to the person Jesus was, and the person that Jesus is for us as we begin to make the transition from the season after Epiphany into Lent. And I would like to suggest this morning that as we journey together in Lent, you keep these main characteristics that I believe form the core of Jesus' ministry, as conveyed in this passage from Mark this morning. And how we know that Jesus, the representative of a Word made flesh, of God dwelling among us, also speaks to us in a very real and tactile way, which again came across to me over and over and over again as we visited various sites in the Holy Land. That Jesus is God. And if you wish to know what God is like, look to Jesus. For example, Jesus shows incredibly compassionate response to the leper. Now, Mark does not often speak of Jesus' psychological state, but he does here. When Jesus saw the man approaching him in need, he was moved immediately to compassion. Please note, friends, he was not moved to judgment. He didn't say, well, you know, if you have messed up, you wouldn't find yourself in this predicament. He didn't say, stop embarrassing yourself, get up off your knees. Keep your distance, though. After all, you are a leper. No. None of the countless crying responses that were popular then and our common responses today. He just simply felt compassion. This is Jesus, keep in mind. This is, as I've said, the Word made flesh, Son and man, and Son of God. So this is also God being compassionate, not primarily judgmental or directive or demanding, but compassionate. Our God is compassionate. Next, I mentioned earlier, just minutes ago, how important the sense of touch is. Touch is very amazing in that man. People jostle, they come in contact with one another. There is decorum, there is reserve, but there's also an incredible sense of life that I found that covered denominational and also religious boundaries. It is the vortex for Muslim, Judaism, and Christianity in all of its various shapes and sizes. And touch weaves it all together, at least from my perspective. I mean, touch is so important. There is an intimacy that we can take for granted, but nonetheless, when it happens, it touches us also in our hearts and in our souls. Just ask the elderly, or those who are lonely, or those who are isolated, how rare and beautiful a touch can be. And you may be surprised and just reminded that there are few gestures as profound and as loving or as healing as a human touch. Now, Jesus could have healed with a word. He could have said, be made clean. And I'm sure the leper would have been made clean. But he reached out and touched him. He touched the unclean. In a society where that was so incredibly forbidden. Here, too, I think God's character is revealed to us. As we discover a God so eager to be in relationship with us, that God takes on our own form and our own flesh, our own shortcomings, and assumes our lot and our life, so that God can reach out and touch us in love. There's another characteristic, I think, that really speaks profoundly in this passage from Mark's Gospel, and reverberates and echoes in the Hebrew Scripture lesson this morning, and that is a willingness. Elijah was willing to say to the individuals, look, all he has to do is go and be washed 7 times in the Jordan. And that takes on a whole new meaning if you've actually been to the Jordan. And there's a willingness in Jesus, because he does more than simply respond to the man's plea. He affirms his deepest hopes that he is a human being, that he is not defined simply by his ailment, by what he is. And neither are we. Our ultimate definition is that you and I, we are children of God. That's who we are. Yes, we may be business people, we may be teachers, mothers and fathers, priests, but the definition at our core is who and whose we are. So Jesus conveys dignity, worth, that this man is a child of God. There's also another characteristic that I think comes across, particularly at the ending of the passage from Mark's Gospel. I think we need to hear it. And that is loneliness. These acts of mercy, while perhaps free, nevertheless cost Jesus. There's an exchange going on here. Do you see it? as this man is now healed and is also restored to his community, he goes about and tells everyone what is happening. Can you blame him? Look at me. Look at me. I have the skin of a boy. You know? Who can blame him? But you see what happened? Now Jesus cannot stay in the town. Jesus cannot remain in the narrow streets with the paved stones. He cannot go to the bazaars. He cannot go to temple. He cannot stay where it is safe. He is driven out. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone in that time period, in that way. So Jesus can no longer travel freely or even in the town anymore. But I want to be careful. I'm not suggesting that there is a cost or an exchange in what goes on here, right? I don't mean that his healing has some sort of superpower that he extinguishes and then he has to go replenish. You know, he has to fill up the tank again to be able to do this. Okay? This is not some sort of theory of atonement. If you do this, then you get this. It's not that at all. Okay? Because that, in essence, makes God a barber. That if you make the right payment, I'll give you the right gift. And I don't see, frankly, how we can call that forgiveness. Rather, what I mean is that love ultimately always costs something. We don't know why Jesus asked the man to be silent. Maybe it's this whole messianic secret thing that theologists like to talk about. But maybe it was because it would just make it difficult for him to walk and get about, that he wouldn't be able to stay in the place that he felt comfortable in, that he felt secure in, and that he would be able to reach the most people. And yet, even though Jesus is driven out, the people come. The people come from all over, to a point where he has to get in a boat, right? And go out on the water, just to try to escape them. Whatever the reason, whatever the risk, Jesus nonetheless heals. Heedless of the cost. He doesn't care. He trades places with the man, losing his freedom so that the man may find his. Elijah is willing to risk everything, convince the man to bathe in the Jordan 7 times. And in so doing, the man is restored to health. Elijah could have risked everything. What if he had come out of the water and he still had it? Okay, go another 7 times. You can just keep on doing that. I'll be right back. You know? God is willing to meet us where we are. The God of love. The God of compassion. The Word made flesh will be with us as we journey forth into Lent. And I think it's important that we keep this concept, this image of God with us as we go forward into a time of repentance and renewal, where we are made clean over and over and over again. And the realization that love is not free. Love costs. Ask any parent or grandparent or lover, friend. And yet that is what we find in God. It was true when the people traveled by foot. It was true when they traveled in very small boats. It is true when you travel by plane. It is true when you get in your car. It is true when you walk those narrow streets of the old quarter of Jerusalem. It is true at the summit of Masada. When you hear the ghosts of those who had been there so long ago, it is here and true in Port Royal and in Beaufort, in Bangor, Maine, in Seattle, Washington, in Moscow, Beijing, Korea. It is true. The truth of that. Mm-hmm.